Our homily is from John 19, verses 1 through 6. It's just before Jesus was crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. Those who were tormenting him placed a crown of thorns on his head to mock his kingship. And ironically, the thorns actually reveal the true nature of his kingship. Let's consider that. Let me pray, then we'll read the scripture. Father, we see your Son truly in the most clear way possible here in his suffering and death on our behalf to reconcile us to God. You have given us all the light of revelation that we need to know you. Give us your Spirit to open our eyes to see your glorious love, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I'm bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise be to you, O Christ. So this is a nightmare of injustice. Pilate actually absolves Jesus. He actually absolves him three times. Declares him innocent publicly, and yet condemned him, even though he was innocent. Condemned him to a gruesome, painful, humiliating death, as if Jesus had been a criminal of the highest order. And it looks to all the world as if Pilate were the strong one here, the powerful one, the one who's in charge. But truly Jesus was mighty in his willingness to suffer the violence, to lay down his life, to forgive us, to love and redeem even his enemies. The just one suffered the greatest injustice in order to justify the unjust. Jesus didn't merely endure the curses of sinners who were taunting and mocking him. He willingly endured the curse of God against our sin. Paul says that Jesus became a curse for us in order to remove that curse from us, in order to bless us. This is the work of our true King. Pilate names him as the man. He is our representative. He is the man who has vicariously renewed our humanity in relationship with God. So something of this is represented in the crown of thorns pressed onto his head. Thorns are bad. Incidentally, that's why hornets are bad. They're basically just flying thorns. In the book of Numbers, in the book of Joshua, in the book of Judges, the enemies of God's people are referred to as thorns in their sides. God is the one who allows these enemies to be thorns in the sides of his people as an expression of his judgment against the unfaithfulness of his people. In fact, that is why thorns exist in the first place. It's because of God's judgment. God's judgment against sin. After the first sin in the garden, this was part of God's curse. It says this in Genesis 3. To Adam, God said, "Because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you." So in order to grow food, we have to fight what seems like a losing battle against thorns. It's a battle that never ends. Vast patches of land, you can see it as you drive past farmland, or some of you are actually farmers. Vast patches of land are often made useless by blackberries. Thorns work against us. Thorns make more work for us. Thorns make our good work harder. And they bring us pain, right? That's what these mean. Thorns represent irredeemability, because they are apparently only evil and worthless. They're good for nothing. Even the scriptures say they're good for nothing but the fire. Thorns signify the curse of God against our sin. Our pursuit of life and glory apart from God is condemned as sheer futility. And this curse is represented by these thorns. Jesus has this curse placed on his head as he goes to atone for our sins. He identifies with us. He identifies as one of us. That means that the sinless one identified as a sinner in order to take our place, in order to represent us. He became sin for us, Paul says in another place. He became the curse for us, to suffer the curse in our place, even to transform that curse into actually a blessing by his love. Yes, sinners meant to mock him by giving him this crown of thorns. They didn't mean any good by it when they pressed it onto his head, as they derided him as the king of the Jews. But this is exactly where we see his true kingship, the real glory of his lordship. He chose life with God. He always chose life with the Father, even if it meant his death, which now it does. He chose self-sacrificial love, even loving his enemies, over self-preservation. He chose not to pursue his own glory, but he received this crown of thorns. He is the cursed king. He is the Lord of suffering. He is the one who redeems the world, who brings us back into a relationship with God, not by avoiding the curse, not by somehow escaping it, but by suffering it, by submitting to God's holy will, by submitting to God's good judgment. He took all our futility and our worthlessness and our evil, and he owned it. He made it his own in order to share his eternal life with God with us. So his crown of thorns was not just a pathway to glory. His crown of thorns reveals his glory. It's the glory of his love that's revealed in this crown of thorns. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. By being the Lord that he is, Jesus has used our sin against him to save us from our sin. By being the Lord that he is, Jesus has transformed this curse into God's blessing. So the greatest injustice, the most unforgivable injustice ever committed, the crucifixion of the Son of God, has become the very moment of our justification and our forgiveness. The cross is the culmination of the world's evil. The cross is the climax of God's judgment. And because of the one hanging on the cross, it is salvation and it is redemption. By taking the humiliating crown of thorns upon himself, Jesus has worked painfully to bestow every heavenly honor upon us. The worthless thorns on his brow have become full of divine meaning. The painful thorns on the Lord's brow now mean our eternal comfort and joy. Thorns are bad, but they do not thwart the purposes of the good Lord. Paul says that in order to keep him from becoming conceited, according to God's good purposes, the Lord permitted him to have a thorn in the flesh. Maybe some physical malady, maybe some grievous enemy. Something that made his life difficult, something that brought him pain, was allowed by the Lord to afflict him so that he would know the blessing of humble dependence on God. So the Lord has worked through the thorns. The Lord has worked in spite of the thorns. The Lord has even worked with the thorns. The Lord transforms the curse of thorns into places where we meet him. Places where we meet him in his mercy. Places where we find life with him and in him rather than apart from him. His lordship means that thorns are for participation in his life. Even the curse of death itself, that final ultimate curse and suffering, that ultimate declaration of futility and meaninglessness that death is, the Lord has transformed death by his own death. His death proclaims life His death proclaims meaning and purpose and glory in a renewed relationship with God in his name. His death means that our death is a place where we will meet him in his mercy, a place where we'll find our eternal life with him rather than apart from him. Now, death is for participation in the life of the Son of God, even death. There's no greater blessing, no greater comfort, no greater honor than participation in the life of the Son of God, the life of Jesus Christ. Entrust yourself to the crucified Lord and receive the gracious gift of life with God in his name. Amen.